So there's something I wanted to talk to you about. Dan talked a little bit about it this morning, believe it or not, when he after Brad's message. Very cool stuff. Let's go to Romans 14, 17. Oh, I got to talk a little bit above that. Let me start at 15. Very powerful stuff. So we've been talking about the Holy Ghost leading us and guiding us, right? We have to understand that the Spirit of Christ is the Holy Ghost. It's the same thing. It's the Spirit of Christ. What didn't he say it was the Comforter? He says, I have to go away and I have to send the Comforter back to you. And he says, this Comforter will lead and guide you into all things and bring to remembrance all the things that I've said to you. It's the Holy Ghost coming back, his Spirit coming back and reminding us of all the things that he said to us, what he told us while he was walking with us. Here's the thing that you have to remember. If he's bringing all things to your remembrance, is he doing it from the beginning? Yes, he is. He's bringing back words that you and God had before you fell. This is powerful stuff. He brings back things that God told you. How do you know what the ear to hear is? The ear to hear is you're remembering the conversation God had with you before in the past. That's why it catches you. And then it catches you. There was something that caught you. Maybe it was something Seth said to Jacob that caught his attention. And he said, well, I want to start going over and see what these people are talking about. You know, that's how it works. Something will catch you, but why did it catch you? It was a word of God from the beginning. It was your conversation with God from the beginning. God walked with us. He talked with us before we fell. We were in a relationship with God. And so that thing that happened with Adam is mirroring that same thing. Didn't God walk with him in the cool of the day every day? What do you think they talked about? The things of God. He told them things. And I believe God prepared him for going into the deep sleep. This is going to happen to you. This is going to happen to you, but I'll bring the understanding of it to you. But I'm going to put you in a deep sleep so you can get it. Because right now we're walking together, but I know something's going to happen that you don't know is going to happen yet. So I've made preparation for it. And that's why I'm starting to tell you these things now. There's a lot not written in Genesis about the conversation of God and Adam. It's as simple as that. What if I told you some of it's being revealed by the elders to you now? The conversation was about the things that he would have to endure. Some of the sufferings, just like we just talked about, because of sin, because of the things you enter into. There were a lot of things that God showed him and told him. So the conversation is, there were some things he did learn from the spiritual trees that were there. He just didn't stay in it long enough to be able to learn what he needed to know. You know why? Because it was so soon afterwards that sin entered into him. His soul desired to go after something. That's still Adam, guys, no matter how you look at it. His soul decided to go after something that it shouldn't have gone after. There was a commandment that was given, you should not eat of this tree. The day you eat of it, it's going to do what? It's going to bring what to you? Death. Had they experienced death before? Did they know what death was? So it wasn't taken with understanding. If they had understood death, they wouldn't have eaten from the tree. See what I'm saying? What if you've never experienced anything before? What if you hadn't experienced this thing? That's exactly the case they were in. They had not experienced death, never seen death, nothing. They never saw an animal die. They never saw a tree die. Everything was perfect in the garden, remember? So there was no death until the commandment was broken. Then death came in, and they experienced it. And you know what? They were terrified when they experienced it, whether you know this or not, but that's how I saw it. They were scared. What have we done? Especially when God asked them and started talking to them, the whole tone was different. Everything was different. Did you eat of that tree that I told you not to? Now, do you think God's asking them because he didn't know or because he wants to see if he's going to tell them the truth? He wanted to see what Adam was going to say. And what did Adam do? Adam did something he shouldn't have done. The woman thou gave me. What did you say, Terry? He accused God. You gave me this woman that did this. Hey, Adam, let me let you in a little secret. That woman and you are one. You go to the fifth chapter of Genesis. It says, and he called their name Adam. So they were the one. Huh? Is God dividing again to show us something? Ah, that's what we started talking about, didn't we? He divided to show us something, soul and spirit. He's dividing that to show us now that he's telling us the soul is what needs to be regenerated. Remember he said, all souls are mine. The soul that sinneth shall die. That's the part of you can that can do the sin. So what's going to happen is that God says, this part of you has to be regenerated. Here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to divide it into six parts. Wow. Why, God? Because each part is a part you have to learn of what's inward in you to bring it to a regenerated state so you can be one with me again. So I'm going to teach you about the wife, the daughter, the son, the brother, the friend, and the unweaned child, the child that's weaned, okay? I'm going to teach you about all six of them, right? So what happens is that all of those aspects, God is going to teach you something concerning each one of them. And you say, well, where does that take place? It doesn't take place out here. It takes place in here and in the heart. That's where he's going to, it's the inward man that has to be regenerated, huh? He fell, so now the inward man has to do what? He has to learn about God. And inwardly, is there a new man that God makes inwardly? Oh, yeah. We went into so much sin and defilement, and we defiled the world. God gave us, you know, we're going to have to start everything all over again. There's going to have to be what? It's going to be a new man. It can't be the old man. The old man is crucified with Christ. Doesn't it say that? Sixth chapter of Romans. So it can't be the old man anymore. I have to create a new man in you. Lord, create in me a clean heart and a right spirit. That's why David said those words. So the new man has to be created in you. So this is what it says in 14, 17. I think this, and I have to start at 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with whom meat, with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let me just break this down. You know something in God, it's a little bit higher. You give it to somebody that can't eat it right then, so now you should destroy them. That's the meat. Does that make sense? And you destroy him. And sometimes there's a pride involved in that. Look at what I know. I'll give it to him. He doesn't know that. But you may cause him to stumble by that because he doesn't have understanding yet. So he said, how can you say that you love your brother and do that to him? Listen to what this says again. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, he doesn't understand. He's grieved with it. He doesn't even understand. Grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. You're not showing love toward him. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. That could actually destroy him because he doesn't understand. How do we know that? Adam, you ate of a tree that you didn't understand. Did it destroy you? Did it bring death to you? Same thing. That's what you're doing. You're doing the same thing. That's not good. So God's telling us, hey, be careful about that. You may know things, but keep it, stay in your pay grade, as they've been saying lately, huh? Stay there. And don't try to go too far above or anything like that. Let God give it to you, and don't try to teach anybody else that because you'll cause them to stumble. Does that make sense? Then they say meat is for those that of age, strong, right? But the milk is for those that are not strong yet until they can get to meat. Doesn't it say that? I think it's the fifth chapter of Hebrews, if I'm not mistaken, toward the end of it. So meat is for those that have been exercised thereby, by the things that they've learned and what God has given them wisdom and understanding by the experiences. They can exercise that, right, with the meat. But the child, the other one that's on milk, is unskillful in the word, it says. Doesn't it say that? It says he's unskillful. Why? He's a babe. He's still a child. He's unskillful in it. Does that make sense? Which is why he's still on milk. Makes sense, doesn't it? Okay, so it's telling you be careful of your brother here. Now, go to this next part. Verse 16 says, let not then your good be evil spoken of. You may have said, oh, I was doing that for a good reason. But it's going to come back to where it's going to be evil spoken of because it was self-aggrandizement. It's something that you gave to somebody else that they weren't ready for yet. And you're the instrument of them being destroyed by it or falling by it. You see how important this is, what I'm saying to you this morning? Let not then your good be evil spoken of. You say, well, I did that for good, and it's all about God, and it's all about this. That's why people can preach in the name of God and still mess up. You understand? Because they're not doing this thing charitably according to the will of God. For the kingdom of God, this is the next part. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Wow. Didn't Dan talk about that this morning? The fruit of the Spirit. That's what you want. Everybody going around saying, yeah, God spoke to me, God spoke to me. Are you sure? Or are you just realizing that you're getting the fruit of what God's been trying to teach you? See, that's what that is. Didn't it tell you? It names them. All of those things are fruits of God, of the Spirit. Think about it. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. All of those are part of the tree, guys. This is the fruit that God has brought forth in you. I was telling Jacob, I think. I said, Dan's talking about something I got in my mind. The same thing. This is the fruit. You know, you can say all you want to. God talks to you all the time. Let's see the fruit of it. Let's see how the fruit. Do you have righteousness, joy, and peace? Are you doing the things that make for charitability? You know, you're loving your brother. And with charity, you're helping them to overcome. Are you doing those things? Or are you still stuck on your thought and you think, well, mine's right and everybody else is wrong? That's not good. What if you're trying to be taught the right thought and you refuse it because you think yours is right? Well, isn't that exactly what the Pharisees did? The truth came to them in the form of the Messiah. They would hear it and say, no. This is what we say it is. And did not Moses say this? And did not Jeremiah say this? Did not Isaiah say this? They went back and quoted all this stuff. But Jesus would tell them, yeah, that's what it was said. But I tell you, because he's God, and he can tell you what it really means and bring you to the full fruition of it. So if he said, you've heard it said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But he said, but I say, who's ever even angry at his brother? He said, don't even get to that point. But people say, oh, no, we want to stick with the eye for an eye and tooth for the tooth. Because they wanted to take vengeance themselves. But Jesus said, I don't even want you to let it get to anger. Forgive them. Go to them. Forgive them. This is the key, guys. So even though that was said in the law, and he was the one that wrote the law, he said, what I'm doing, I'm adding to it and I'm taking it further. Yeah, I said eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. Yeah, you saw it written in Moses' law. Yeah, you saw all of that. But I say, whoever is even just angry at his brother, you're already starting on the wrong path. So what is he trying to do? He's bringing it inward. He's making you think about how your thoughts come forth. So the anger will lead to the what? The killing, the eye for an eye and the tooth for the tooth. So he's showing you that he's adding to it and showing you a better way. Here's the thing. How do we know sin? Sin is the transgression of the law, right? Isn't that what it said? But Jesus comes along and says, the law and the prophets were unto John, right? That law. Law and the prophets were unto John. But he said, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus is bringing the grace and truth in now. And you know what's inherent in grace? Mercy. Love, joy, peace. Are those all aspects of the fruit of the Spirit? When did the Spirit get ushered in where everybody could receive of it? Day of Pentecost, huh? All of it. But was it already working before then? Yes. Yes. Didn't Zechariah have the Holy Ghost? Didn't Elizabeth have the Holy Ghost? Didn't John the Baptist have the Holy Ghost? See how this worked? It was already starting long before. This is something God is trying to show us. When it talks about the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit in the Old Testament that which did signify the things of Christ, he's talking about the Holy Ghost. He's talking about the Spirit of Christ that existed from the beginning. And it worked with the prophets. It worked with those great leaders of God and whatever. That's still the Holy Ghost. It's still the Spirit of God. Separate. Here we go again. Who's going to separate that? Only God can show you how that works like it did in the Old Testament and bring it up under grace and truth and show you how it works now. God can show you that and bring you an understanding. So what you did think back there is going to be changed because of grace and truth showing you what it is here. That's how it works, guys. We're learning some things. We're learning about the Holy Ghost. We're learning about moving forward in the Spirit of God. So righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. That's what God wants us to do. So he says this. I think this is powerful. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. So it's not natural, guys. It's not what you eat every day. It's not what you drink every day. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Is he separating again? Is he separating from what you think physically from what he's talking about spiritually? He's doing it again. Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. We've read this scripture over and over again, but are you getting a little different thing about it now? This is what God's talking about. And then he goes on and talks about, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. It'll work both ways. It's acceptable to God, and men will notice that different. Don't people say, well, you act different. You're not like, it'll be approved of men. There's something different about, you know, how this, you were talking about that guy that you ran into. There was something that, so what is it? There's a drawing power because we're different. Didn't it say we're peculiar people? Why would you say God's people are peculiar? Because we are in a world that's full of sin. They do their thing every day, and then you come walking along and don't follow the same thing. There's one scripture that says you don't follow them to the same excess of riot. Have you ever read that? You don't do the rioting that they do. You don't do all the arguing that they do back and forth. You turn on that TV, you see politics, you see everybody's arguing. Everybody's doing something. Everybody, there's something going wrong here, something going wrong there, and they stand there and argue, and God is out of the picture. Think about all the things that are going forth in the world now. That should not be you. You have righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Wait a minute. So this Holy Ghost is going to be different than anything we see in the world, huh? Mm-hmm. Can you turn to that when all of this other crap is coming against you? Mm-hmm. Can the Spirit of God lead and guide you in it? Mm-hmm. Wow. What does it say about you being a son of God? Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Mm-hmm. We're doing it again, huh? This is what God is saying. We're different. We follow the Spirit of God. The Comforter is working in us. This is how it works. And you have to allow it to work in you. You have to allow it. Don't let fear overtake you. Don't let your own thought. Don't let lust. Don't let pride. Don't let any of those other things overtake you. Listen to what the Spirit is comforting you with from heaven. You ever wonder why it's called the Comforter? It's comforting you from heaven, the Spirit itself. It is the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. That's what God sent back to comfort our hearts, to help us to understand we don't have to fear. We don't have to be in turmoil. We don't have to be in chaos. He's there to comfort us. You ever think about it that way? Every time something comes up, turn to the Comforter. God, the Holy Ghost is here. I want you to comfort me in this. It's tearing me up. There's chaos. There's all kinds of things happening. There's arguing. There's fighting. There's contention. Comfort me, God. Because your Spirit is in the Spirit of Christ in you. So can he comfort that inward man and all those things that are happening in your consciousness? Can he comfort that? You know, I keep thinking about when they had the storm in the ship. And Jesus was asleep down in the ship. You know why? Because being tossed by a storm is no big thing to him. I am who I am. So why should I fear a storm? So he's asleep. He's showing him something by being asleep. And they went, how in the world can that man sleep down there? And can you see what's going on out here? And that thing was tossing the ship. There was winds. There was waves. And they were scared. And one of them went down there and shook him and said, Master, care not that we perish? I was sleeping till you woke me. I was doing good. Because I know there's no fear in it. Okay. Oh, ye of little faith, let me get up, go out to the bow of the ship. I was comfortable. Go out to the bow of the ship. Peace, be still. Now, do you understand what he was really doing? He was calming all those fears in that mind. All of those disciples, all of them were upset. They thought they were going to die. They thought all of this was going to happen. And he's asleep. And they accused him. You don't care whether we perish or not? Hadn't he always taken care of them? Always. So once again, here he goes. I can see why he said what he said. Oh, man. How long will I have to deal with you people? How long will I have to deal with you of such little faith? How long will I have to deal with you? And that's what he's teaching them. He's trying to bring them forward in that. Isn't that what we just read? So that they look to the comfort of the Holy Ghost and not to their own fears. Look to the comfort of God first. They had the Comforter with them. He was with them. And they still said, you don't care whether we perish or not? That's a bad accusation because Jesus knows everything about them. Provided for them every single day they were with them. Always made sure they had what they needed. Everything. You have to stop and think about that. So why all of a sudden that would not be done? That's the lack of faith. You see how that works? So he gets up, says, peace be still. And then they are astonished by it. What manner of man is this that the winds and the sea obey him? Whew. I tell you what, kind, he's the Son of Man. He's the God in the flesh. That's why that obeys him. Wow, that was powerful. And then it made them think even more. Man, this man, who are we walking with? Who are we walking with? You're walking with God in the flesh. That's who you're walking with. And he's showing you that the flesh can be overcome. Because what's in that flesh? Satan's in that flesh, guys. He's in it. And he tells you, in that flesh dwelleth no good thing, because that's what's in it. But he had a celestial mind. And he was trying to show us, by that mind, the change of thought, you can overcome what Satan does in the flesh. That's our key. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If he's in you and the Spirit of Christ is there, you have the Holy Ghost, can you overcome the Satan that's in the flesh? Whew. You can. Turn to the comfort of the Holy Ghost. This is powerful, isn't it? I want you to think about this. So now let's bring it down real. Every time there's contention and strife and anger and chaos, start turning your heart toward what you know has all power. He has all power in heaven and earth. Jesus said, I have all power of heaven and earth in my hand. I'm trying to think of something that's outside of that. There's nothing outside. If he has all power in heaven and earth in his hand, and he loves you and he's inside of you, is that power resonant in you? But what if you don't think it is? What if your faith isn't there? What if your trust isn't there? What if your mind is not right? What if your thought is someplace else? Then you will not see the power of God. What did it say Christ was? He's the wisdom and power of God. It says that's what he is. He is the wisdom and power of God. Wow. Because he is God. Philip, have I been so long with you? And you're still asking me who the Father is? When you see me, you see the Father. Whoa, that is such a revelation to understand. You look at him, you're seeing the Father. You're seeing God. Oh, this is the Son manifest. He looks like flesh. He says, when you see me, you see the Father. Call him a liar. He is that. He's the only image of the Father you'll ever see. Because God is what? Invisible. So he took on an image so you could see that Father and that Son combined in one. I and my Father are one. So Philip, when you look at me, you are seeing the Father. God's name is Jesus, guys, no matter how you put it. His name is Jesus. That's a powerful thing to know. Let me take you to another scripture. One other one is coming to my mind here. It's in the same area. I think the next chapter. Listen to these words again. 15:13 of the same book of Romans. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Gee, that kind of covers a couple of words we just read in 14:17, huh? Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Wait a minute. All joy and peace where? In believing. What if you don't believe? Do you have all joy and peace? It has to be in the believing of it. So if you believe it, you'll have the joy and the peace. If you don't believe it, you'll have no hope and no joy and no peace. See how that works? And have we all experienced that? Have we all been in a place where we felt we didn't have any joy, any hope, or any peace? Then we've all felt that, haven't we? We have learned since then where that comes from. It comes from being in God. Your hope. Now the God of hope, that's Him. God is hope. Christ is hope. What does it say about faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, Christ, the evidence of things not seen. Whew. You don't see it, but by faith you believe it. That's the definition of faith. You believe God. So let's read this again. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope. Oh, wait a minute. Brings the hope back up again. Yeah, you have hope, but now if you believe in Him, it abounds in hope. The hope grows exponentially. It gets bigger and bigger. Your hope gets huge because you believe in Him. And you believe in the joy and the peace that He brings, the righteousness. You believe in that. And so it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You will abound in that power. Through that belief in what? The Holy Ghost. Spirit of Christ, Spirit of God, goes by many names, still the same thing. Still the same thing. I'm like Dan, I like that term ghost. Holy Ghost. It's the ghost of Jesus, isn't it? Think about it. The Spirit. Ghost is nothing more than the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit. Well, that's why it's called the other term, the Holy Spirit. So that ghost means something more, though. It means that there's an inhabiting of you. That ghost is in you. That spirit is in you. Right? What do people in the world believe? They believe that ghosts wander around here in this physical world, don't they? That's not true, by the way. A lot of what these people are seeing and whatever is tricks of the mind. Oh, did you see that right there? Oh, I saw something scurry in the corner over there. Ooh, ooh, ooh. That's those people that say, where's that thing at? Okay. There's a spirit in my little puppet over here. You better be careful because it can jump out and get you. Holy crap. I don't believe that stuff. I don't believe that. I believe that I can have anything, anywhere in my house, do whatever, walk past it. Nothing's going to have any power over me. How could it have power? It's inanimate. Remember when they were laughing? That dumb God can't speak. And remember they were, Elijah was laughing at them? You know, and when the prophets of Baal, 450 of them, cutting themselves and trying to make the God is going to answer by fire. The one that answers by fire, you're going to come down and lick up the sacrifice and all that stuff. And he gave them all day. In fact, he gave them all day to the going down of the end of the evening sacrifice, the time for the evening sacrifice. You know, we have watches today, but I can imagine him looking, okay, the time. I've given them all day. They're crying, cutting themselves, screaming, jumping on the altar. Nothing's happening. He said, my turn. My turn. Back up. He says a prayer. God, show yourself to be the one and only righteous God. I'm paraphrasing. And show your power from heaven. And then he stepped back. And that bullock he had up there, he had them put water on it. I think he said seven times, drench it seven times. And fill up the trench that's around it too with water. All of that. Trying to make it even harder for God, which it isn't. But just the same, to show them. That was evidence for them. And he said, now, Lord, let's show who's God, who's the true God. and the fire came down from heaven, ooh, and licked it up, burned up the sacrifice, the water that was in the trench, everything till there was nothing left. The God that answered by fire. So whose God is the true God? The God of Elijah. Doesn't that make sense? Then he said, don't let any of them escape. We're going to slay all 450 of them by the sword because they are false worshipers. They're idol worshipers. They're false prophets, false word. Let's kill them right now. And he did. This is powerful. When Jezzy heard about it, though, oh, she was upset. She was upset. Ahab told her what happened. And then he brought rain again. That's the other part I like. After winning this great contest, he looks and he sends his servant out there because, you know, there hadn't been rain for years. Why hadn't there been rain? Anybody remember? That's true, Terry, but Elijah shut up the heavens earlier. He said, there will be no rain. This same prophet. Now he's saying, he told his Gehazi, go out there and look. Seven times he sent him. He didn't see anything the first six times. The seventh time he goes, he said, I see a cloud the size of a man's fist. He said, oh, that's all we need. Tell Ahab he better get back to Jezreel because the rain and the mud is going to stop him if he doesn't start right now. What? All we see is a cloud the size of a man's fist. But he knew that he had already prayed so that the heavens would bring forth again. And then God gave him a much powerful thing to do. He ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to Jezreel. He beat the horses and the chariot back to Jezreel. Elijah ran ahead of him. And that rain just drenched everybody. Like he said it would. Wow. So I shut up the heavens and then I loosed them. Now the plenteous rain is coming. Ahab, you better get back home because your chair is going to get stuck in the mud if you don't. Hurry. And then he ran ahead of him. Whew. That's powerful, huh? We're talking about a prophet of God. We're not talking about these false things that you see all the time. We're talking about a prophet of God. Isn't this powerful? So saying these things, do you think he had the Holy Ghost? Look at his name, Elijah. El means God. J-A-H, Jah means God. El and Jah, Elijah. God and God. Whew. He was a prophet of God. Amazing stuff, isn't it? So what we're going to do is we want to start, and I'm saying this to you in confidence. What we want to do is start being comforted by the Holy Ghost and believing in it. So I say this to all, believe in the Holy Ghost. I'm saying it openly for all of you to take this. Everybody online, believe in the Holy Ghost and be comforted by it. I want you to start trying that. When trying times come, believe in the Holy Ghost and find comfort in it. Things don't go right, believe in the Holy Ghost and find comfort in it. Big mess up, big contention, arguing, whatever. Believe in the Holy Ghost and find comfort in it. Being accused, being cursed out, all kinds of things happening. Believe in the Holy Ghost and be comforted. Everybody, I'm saying that to you now openly. Believe in the Holy Ghost and be comforted because that's what it's for. And we speak boldly in that. You need to be healed? Believe in the Holy Ghost and be comforted. Let your soul be healed. Does that make sense? So I believe God is just blessing us today, giving us an understanding about how these things work. Let the fruit of the Spirit be things that you can eat of. You can take it off the tree and eat now. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. You can partake of it. And you do it by turning toward the comfort of the Holy Ghost. You'll eat those things, righteousness, joy, peace, hope, all of those things will come to you. And you will start bearing witness of it, and you will start manifesting it, and you will change. Does that make sense? That's how it works. Good. Anybody got anything for me today about what I said? The scripture is very succinct about what it says. Believe in it. We say we have it, but that's not all. You need to believe in it. You believe in it, and then it will manifest itself.